everybody. It's great to have you joining us on our live stream. We're so glad to be able to offer this to you and that it is helping you. We've heard so many stories. As we enter into this Advent season, we know it's kind of busy, and maybe that's why you're joining us online. We are hoping and praying that we will be able to behold. That's our theme this year, behold who God is, or this loving Father whose Son came down to become our King and our Savior and to offer us good news of great joy. We just really pray and trust that you'll be able to enter into that and really experience that. And, you know, as we've talked about before, one of the ways is to engage in the service, the full service, the music, the scripture reading. Your family there, or your spouse there, because they can really hear you. But I want to tell you, when you do that, God will meet you there. And maybe if you're on your own, I would encourage you, maybe just reach out to someone. Talk to them a little bit about what God's been maybe saying to you, doing in your heart, your soul, as you enter into this Christmas season. We don't want you to go alone. You can always reach out to us at the church, your office at sandwichbaptist.org. There are people who'd love to pray for you. And so thank you for joining us. God bless you in this Advent season. Behold our God.
Well, welcome to your announcements. Christmas is right around the corner and we've got a lot of events coming up. So let's start with our retirees lunch happening this Wednesday.
If you are interested in joining us, we'd love to have you, but we need you to register so we can purchase the right amount of food. So today is actually the last day to sign up. You can head to our website to do that.
You betcha, last chance to sign up, go now.
And Serve the City, we're just wrapping things up. It's all coming to a close now. What dates and information does everybody need to know?
Yeah, so if you picked up an angel tree tag, those gifts are due back this coming Sunday. So that is the final day for Serve the City Christmas this year. Thank you so much for all your generosity, but if you still have a tag, we need those gifts for next Sunday.
You betcha, otherwise Shiloh will be chasing you down.
Yeah.
And then finally, we'll be at Christmas Eve. Big Christmas Eve services. We've got a bunch of options at our Wilkinson Road campus. We'll have a service at 4 and 6. And then at our CBC campus, we'll be having an 8 p.m. candlelit service, which I'm really excited about. So whatever works for your schedule, come on out and celebrate with us Christmas Eve. And then big news for the 25th and January 1st.
Yeah, so spend the 25th, Sunday the 25th, with your family. We will not be having Sunday services on Christmas Day. And then a week from then is
New Year's Day,
and we know you'll all be recovering from your late night welcoming the new year. So we are having a live stream service only. So no one will actually be in the building on New Year's Day, but we invite you to tune in online for a New Year's Day service.
You betcha. It's just a really nice opportunity. where we can kind of give some of our volunteers that are here week in, week out, a little bit of a break on the holiday, and yet still be able to worship together. Mm-hmm. So definitely check us out online on the 1st. And boy, oh boy, I think that's it. All the Christmas lists are checked.
Twice.
And twice. And we'll see you next week.
It helps when I unmute the microphone. You can hear me better. Welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us to worship our God on the traditional territories of the Wissanich and Lekwungen people. And it's great to have you here. It was great to have 1UP with us here yesterday. I was just chatting with Shyla in the lobby before the service got started, and she was just saying that we had an amazing time having the 1UP families. We had over 100 families from 1UP come to our building, and she said, I think I heard the word joy as something that described the event, that there was just a spirit of joy, which is very fitting because this is the 3rd week of Advent and we are looking at the theme of joy. So thank you to all you volunteers who helped out with that event yesterday. That was such a fantastic time. So I invite you to stand up though as we get started here. And we are gonna start off, and I'm gonna read this call to worship that's inspired by Psalm 98. And it says this: Holy Triune God, from everlasting to everlasting, you are Lord. Let the whole earth shout with joy before the Lord. We lift up our voices with joy and singing. Great is our Lord the King. Your voice brought all of creation into being, Lord, and your breath sustains us. Who is like our God, King over all the earth? Come. Let us lift up our voices with joy and singing. Great is our Lord the King. So of course we've got to start off today then with joy to the world. Let's sing it.
Yeah.
sing angels we've heard. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Going to take a look at this video for Advent, introducing the candle we are lighting this week, which is the candle of joy. So take a look at this video.
Okay, today we light the candle of joy. And our scripture comes from Luke 2:10 to 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The shepherds hear the angel's proclamation, and they're indeed filled with both awe and joy. They are mere shepherds considered by some as the lowest of the low. But the angel comes to them, no one else but them, and gives them the news of the momentous event, the birth of the Messiah. Filled with joy, they careen down the hills into town, find the stable, the manger, and kneel before the Christ child. The angel spoke of a physical birth, but there's also a spiritual dimension, the joy that breaks upon us when we finally grasp that Jesus loves us in spite of ourselves, forgives all of our sins and past failings, and takes up residence in our lives. Then the initial joy melds into an enduring joy of companionship with the Lord. So I'm going to finish with a prayer. Lord, it may seem naive in a world of grief to choose to live in joy. It may seem foolish in a world where solemnity is power to sing and dance to a different tune. It may seem cruel in a world of suffering and injustice to speak of light and celebration. But you have come, Jesus, to bring joy into our grief, light into our darkness, singing into our mourning, and it is an act of healing and proclamation to believe and embrace the joy that you offer. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Well, I invite you to stand once more as we sing, God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. He's come to bring comfort and joy. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power. Gone astray, oh tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. God, we just praise you because the news of your birth is indeed tidings of comfort and joy. And it's not a joy that is just lasts for a moment. It's not based on circumstances or situation. It's a joy that can infuse our lives. And so we thank you that, that we can experience the joy of the Lord. And we thank you for the reminder that Advent gives us to take a moment away from the busyness of Christmas and the bustle of life. And we can just rest and we can fix our eyes on you, the giver of joy, the giver of hope, the giver of life. So God, we give you glory. We give you praise. We just pray all of this in your name. Amen. Well, you can have a seat. And kids, it is time for you to head to the back if you would like and go find Shyla, and she would love to take you up to your kids program where you guys can continue worshiping there. Lindsay, bring it.
Thank you, Kim. It's good to be with you this morning. Welcome. Advent season. I just want to add my appreciation to all the volunteers who showed up yesterday, spent hours here. And then not only that, but we had a crew that showed up after. Like, they weren't there for the party. They were there just to do the grunt work of kind of vacuuming and resetting up the place. And it was a wonderful event. Shyla and her team did a great job. So thank you so much for that, for blessing those families. There you go. Wow. That's great. And I just want to say again, appreciation for how you serve over the Christmas season. It's not only here, like within these walls, but it's what I hear out in the community as well. Different places that you're doing your little bit, loving your neighbor, loving your coworker, responding to people who have needs. I was talking to someone this morning who have housed or taking in a gentleman who life has kind of hit the fan. And at this season, all of a sudden finds himself in the place of needing a home, a room. And one of the families in our church has just opened up their house to this person. And that's amazing. And that is so good. And I just want to thank you for that kind of generosity, that kind of spirit. I also just want to remind you, some of you have been asking, end of the year giving, we had a video last week, we'll show it again next week. The leadership team wants to thank you for your continued support of SBC. We know that some of you like to consider what you're going to do at the end of the year and maybe make an extra donation or what. If you are wanting to do that in person on December 30th, the office will be open in the morning from 9 to 12, and you are welcome to bring it in then. If you can't bring it in, if that's not convenient, you can always leave it through the mail slot. The front door's there, and we'll make sure that it gets calculated and tallied in to your 2022 giving. I would just like to pray before I get into the story this morning. I know that there are a lot of people who are under the weather. There are people who are facing lots of challenges, and I just kind of want to give you a moment. I'm just going to give you some space for yourself to just kind of go to God, and then I'm going to pray for us collectively. So just take a few moments on your own. Speak to our God. God, I come to you on behalf of those this morning who are just under it right now, not feeling well, and God, maybe they're here with us online, maybe they've been able to kind of sneak in the back door here, and Lord, it's challenging right now, and there seems to be so many people just under the weather, and I just pray for your healing. God, I pray for your presence. I pray, as Kim prayed earlier, for your comfort and your joy. God, we often think in this season, our sort of our immature, if you like, approach to joy is that joy means that everything is just as it should be, just as we would draw it up, as we would dream it up, that everything is just wonderful and all things fall into place. And yet true joy from you is the ability to find that in the midst of the chaos. To find that peace in the midst of life when things aren't going as planned, as dreamed, as drawn up in our minds. And if we're going to have that, we're going to need more of you. We're going to need your spirit to do a work in our hearts and in our souls. And so this Christmas season, God, might we behold you, might we understand you in a greater way
So thank you for your presence here. We're grateful for that you're with us in a room like this. You're with us in the rooms, maybe online as we're gathering, that you are with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for that. We need that promise. We need that reality. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are continuing on in our Advent series. And I guess what I'm wanting to ask this question, just right off the top, is what's going to catch your attention this season? I mean, I could ask it more specifically. What's captured your attention this morning? You're all here. I see that. Physically present. But what's catching your attention right now? Like, what is kind of going on? Is it the plans for this afternoon? Is it that list that you have? I mean, this is sort of an opportunity where you may not have many of these like this, where all of a sudden you're just sitting here and you can't run to the kitchen, you can't run to your computer, although I guess you could run to your phone. Don't. Right? Like, what's going to capture your attention this season? We're asking that in this Advent season, this series, this idea that we might behold in a whole new, fresh way who our God is. We looked at the Father's love last week. This week, we're looking at this idea, and we want to kind of, if you like, listen to the angel. Leah read for us this morning from Luke chapter 2, and the angel was saying, listen, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Good news of great joy that will be for all people. And what we need to understand is that Christianity as a faith, all right, as a religion, if you like, is unique in that the God of Christianity actually came to find his people. Whereas many faiths, religions, if you like, will try to teach you, create some sort of system in such a way for you to find and experience God. Our God came to earth to find us. And I don't have the words to try to articulate that. I mean, I can pull up a thesaurus, frankly, as I did, as I was preparing, trying to come up with all these amazing words and thoughts and all to try to grasp, how can that be? Our God, our Creator, came to us. Behold, our Creator enters the world and breathes our air. That is good news for you and I this morning. Why? In so many ways, because truly, as you and I understand, life is hard. Life is not a straight line. Life does not go as we always want it to go, and it's more than just having one of the bulbs burn out in our Christmas light. I put my lights up the other day. They look fantastic, except for one bulb's out. That can ruin a guy's day. But life's a little harder than one bulb out. And we know that. And our God knows that. And he has come to meet us. He says, listen, our Creator is saying, listen, I see you. I know you. I love you. I've got you. Okay, so let's remember that this Christmas season. I love the book of John. If you've got a Bible, smartphone, whatever it is, here's where you can jump on your phone. I give you permission, as if you needed it. John chapter 1, all right? John chapter 1, some amazing words there. So, so good. Let's look at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Pause. Reflect. Behold. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it as much as it tries. In the beginning, our God created Jesus. This baby, this Christmas season, Jesus was in the beginning and created us. Created the world around us. All things, it says there, he created. It says that in him is life for what? All mankind. That's what the angel was telling us. For all mankind. And it's good news of great joy. I just want to read some other passages. Another passage here. Colossians chapter 1. Powerful, just profound words. The Son is the image of the invisible God. The Son is Jesus. Image of the invisible God. The firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Behold, our Creator enters in and breathes our air. Behold, the Son is the image of the invisible God. You want to understand God, we need to understand Jesus. We need to see Jesus. To understand God, to see this invisible God in him, again, all things are created. The beauty, like the breathtaking places. I listen to some of you who travel. I don't seem to travel, much to the sorrow, sadness of my wife. I got to figure this out, folks. Because some of you go to some of the most amazing places. Like the beauty of this created world is significant. It's unbelievable. And Jesus created this. He breathes life into the world. And the complexity of this world is still being discovered. And we think we're pretty brilliant. And we really are. But then there's the Creator. Some of you might be familiar with Isaiah 40. It's a few verses where it's just talking about this God and this creation. And I just love the questions that Isaiah asks. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who's held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? I love that question. Like who did he seek counsel from? Who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? And that God who did this, right? Like all of this enters in. I mean, this world was created, and God said it over and over and over again. It is good. It is amazing. It is beautiful. And I think we would agree. Oh, there's some serious pain and there's some serious caca. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But the world is beautiful. You are beautiful. And we heard last week, for God so loved the world, he started Christmas. No, he sent his son. And we celebrate that this Christmas. Now, this is where the story kind of goes to a whole nother level. It's unrivaled, unmatched, it's unique. Behold, right, our Creator who enters into the world and breathes our air. And I just want to go back to John chapter 1, just to remind ourselves, just to refresh ourselves of the story. It says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. They missed him. He came to that which was his own, right? Like his created, his people, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Behold, the Creator enters in. The light to everyone. Offers himself to everyone, comes and enters into this world. The whole world that he made did not recognize him. Did not receive him, it says as well. How about you? Do you recognize this God? Are you receiving this God? I mean, in a season where we come, let us behold him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Like, are we doing that this season? Now, you see, this Creator, this from the beginning of time Creator God came, entered into the creation, entered into the people that he created. I mean, he really did life as we have done it. He ate. He slept. He was thirsty. He was hungry. He was tired. He built things, which tells me he likely hit his thumb with a hammer and had to deal with all of those emotions. He had emotions. He sailed. Reminds me of my favorite movie, What About Bob? I sail. Anyways, he had friends. He also had enemies. He had enemies. He prayed. He meditated. He was taught some things. He considered things, scripture. He had parents with expectations. Don't we all? Does that ever go away, by the way? Dad, Mom, ever go away? I don't think it does. We've got expectations. Siblings, he had siblings. He was taught some things, and you know, he also knew what it was to be abandoned. He loved some that others felt probably you shouldn't hang out with. I mean, if you're really a religious, holy person, you really shouldn't go there. Yet he felt, well, of course I should. He was accused of things he had not done. He breathed the air. The very air that he created. the Son of Man, Creator God, came in flesh. And you see, as he did all of those things that I listed off and more, like those just demonstrate and remind us that he truly was God in flesh, truly was human. He taught us in both his words, his teachings, if you like, those things where it's all of a sudden, you know, as I used to do with my kids, and sometimes they would roll their eyes and, "Dad, is this another teachable moment?" Yes, it is, hopefully. He did that. He taught things. He seized moments. But it wasn't just his words that taught things. It was his actions. It was the things that caught the attention of his life and where he invested his time and with whom he invested his time. And so he knows what it is. Like, as the creator and as the designer, he knows what's best for us. And he truly does have our best interest at heart, right? Like, can we agree with that? He has your best interest at heart. And he also knows what's best for you. Like, in how you do life. And how you interact with it. And he wants us to become fully alive in a broken world. Now, I think you and I can agree, and I mean, it blows my mind, but I think we can all agree that this took incredible humility on his behalf. We talk about humility. What would be our comparable of being God and being in heaven and going, "I think I will come down and live on earth and interact with those people that I created and have people tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about"? What kind of humility would that take? What's our comparison to that? There isn't one, right? But he came to show that there's a greater purpose than just kind of getting by, to just kind of having a full set of Christmas lights without any light burnt out, right? Like, there's just so much more than that to life. Now, you might recognize these words. Most of the scriptures I expect for many of you this morning that I'm sharing with you, these aren't anything new. These are kind of like that motherhood and apple pie scriptures that we return to on a regular basis. Why? Because we've got to remember that our God, our Creator, who designed us, who gave us our very lives, who breathed life into us, is the God who entered in. And we need to behold that and to consider that this morning. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and following, we have more of this. Who being in very nature, this is talking about Jesus, who being in very nature, God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Familiar verses, right? How many times have I read these? I mean, taught these, read them, thought about them. So many times. We tell you all the time, man, just keep going back to God's word. Allow him to open things up to you, right? Because it's just amazing how he keeps doing it. The line that just kind of hit me between the eyes this week was in verse 6, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. I'm like, what? That's how I do life. I try to set up the dominoes of life that they fit to my advantage. Wait a minute. What are you saying? Humility, willingness to surrender and to submit yourself to the very creation that you created, to be misunderstood, abandoned, taken advantage of. And yet he comes. I mean, he lived a life. He conquered death on our behalf that we might have the hope of overcoming. He loves us. That's evident. He loves us and he loves the world. And I think you've probably heard this thread through the last few weeks and hopefully already today, that it's a significant truth that God is asking us, would we be willing to join him into that descent into this posture of living a life that is lived for the advantage of others and not to our advantage. Could we do that? Could we consider that? Now, you see, what's so interesting about this is that these verses right here are like one of those go-to, as I said earlier, like theological statements, right? Like there is rich theology in there. You know what's interesting is you need to read verse 5 before you get into that. And actually, you should probably read verses 1 to 4 before you get into verse 5. But let me just show you how this is set up. He says there in verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. This theological treatise, this thing that talks about concepts like kenosis, ooh, big word, is there to change our minds in our relationships. We are to have the same mindset, the same attitude, the same trajectory as our God. If there is any way that we could compare ourselves in any way, shape, or form, sort of put ourselves in this concept, this idea that somehow I might be a big deal, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm actually supposed to serve and submit and surrender and to live a life for the advantage of others. To not constantly be setting up those dominoes so that they all work for my advantage. In your relationships, have the same attitude, mindset as all of this. Whew. It's going to take some ciphering. God stepped down humbly, served, submitted to the creation that he created. He walked with us, amongst us. He is present with us. And he calls us in these relational terms. He says, come, come to me. He says, follow me. So listen to what I've got to say. Could you believe? I mean, others aren't, but could you? Could you love? Could you pray? Could you serve? Could you bless? Could you be sacrificial in your, my relationships? We got a lot of relationships in this room. We got husbands and wives. How can you husband, how can you wife, for the advantage of the other? What could that look like? How might you need to change an attitude or a mindset to be more reflective of our Creator, our God? I joked earlier about my parents. My parents are still alive. I'm a parent. How do we parent? How do we continue to be kids who respect and value our our aging parents? How do we sibling? Is that the right way to say it? How do we do that in light of this? Like, not to our own advantage. I'm the oldest. Uh-oh. That might be a good parallel to Jesus a little bit. How do we do that? What does it look like to take on that humility that Jesus demonstrated for us as a sibling? As kids, as neighbors. I mean, it says it right there in John chapter 1. He came and he dwelled among us. You've heard us say this many, many times. You know, Eugene Peterson wrote the message, and in it he said, you know, he came and he moved into the neighborhood just to remind us, just to give us the image that God actually came and truly dwelt among us in our neighborhoods. How do you neighbor in light of this? How do you work? How do you boss? I got a friend who runs a business, and it was years ago that I first discovered this person's business. And when I came onto the property and I saw this boss doing, frankly, what we pay people to do, and we generally would pay the minimum wage to do what he was doing. I didn't know him at the time. I was going to meet him. And all of a sudden, I was kind of hit right between the eyes of, oh, wow, that feels like humility right there. You're doing what normally we would pay someone whatever minimum wage is today to do. Why? Because it's not that big a deal, but it needs to be done, and we'll just get so-and-so to do it. How do you boss in light of this? What does it look like to be a boss who serves, doesn't run the business solely for his or her advantage? How do you do commerce? How do you do lines at Christmas with this in mind? How do you stand there when the till is just backing up? What do you mean a price check? No, you can't stand in line and then have someone go run to get you something because you remembered that 10 minutes ago and you didn't want to lose your spot in line. Now, you can't do any of that if we're learning how to walk more in humility, if we're learning how to live more for the advantage of, I mean, what does it look like in your relationships? Let's not talk about driving our cars. You see, Jesus wants to breathe his life into your life. Our Creator, before all, designed all, knows all, comes and enter in and breathes the air and wants to breathe air, his hope, his life, his joy, his peace into your very existence. That we might discover what it is to become more like him. And that we might then take that kind of posture and serve and bless and sacrifice and humble ourselves for the advantage of those we do life with. It starts with you, it starts with me, and God wants to come and he wants to make that kind of difference. You know, this idea of Advent is something that kind of comes out of the life of Mary. And in Acts chapter 2, after the reading that Leah had done for us, not Acts, Luke, some of you were on that. I know you were. After the reading that Lee had done, there's that section, and you may remember it, that it said that Mary treasured all these things and pondered them. And so what I want to do right now is I just want to give you some space, because here's what I know. You're going to get out of here, and boom, the treadmill's going. Man, you guys are hopping. You've got your list to do. And I just want to give you a few moments. Could you just take a few moments to ponder this morning? To think about. What is it that you're treasuring this Christmas season? God's maybe sort of tugged on you a little bit. Maybe you came in this morning and God's had something on your heart and soul, and you've just sort of been pushing it aside and you're going to deal with it in the new year. And I'm like, you know what? Might be better to deal with it now. Could you just take a moment and consider? Maybe this morning you need to let this idea that this Creator God, when He created you, like He said, it was good. You're fearfully, wonderfully made, and you matter to God. He knows you. Loves you. He's got you. Maybe this morning, that phrase has kind of reminded you that maybe you've lived most of your life trying to set the dominoes up to your advantage. And yet, you've been reminded, and maybe you need to seek God's forgiveness and just a restoring, a reorienting of your attitude and mindset to live a life for the advantage of others. God, we want to agree with the angel this morning, and we confess that there are times where some of the alluring season, the lights and the glitter, if you like, can sometimes pull us away from remembering the truth of this season, that you bring us good news that will be great joy, not just for me, but for all people, and that our God did not just try to create some sort of system on how we might find Him, but you came, God, to find us. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for the humility of that. Might this church Might we, us, as a people, receive that? Might we learn what it is to follow, to come closer as you call us in, and then live that out, that very thing, for others. Thank you, Creator God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, last week we introduced you to a song entitled Behold, that our Advent series is kind of based off of this year. And so I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing that song to close. Behold, the King has come, divinity incarnate, creator of the world, breathing our air. Let's sing this song together. And we'll take up the offering as we do so. So don't be surprised if a plate comes by. But let's behold our God together. Behold, the King has come, divinity incarnate, creator of the world, breathing our air. Behold, what light has come, in the dark and not contained. The Savior of the world is finally here. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Come, let us adore Him. For He alone is worthy, Christ the Lord.
that you've joined us as we worship our God together. As always, we would love to connect with you. So whether that's just through catching us and chatting after the service or filling out a card or connecting through the website, we'd love to chat with you, to know what's going on in your life, to be part of this community with you. And as always, we'll have people up here praying. So if you would like to spend some time beholding, considering, pondering, praying with others, please, we invite you to come forward and to do that with us. I just want to close with this benediction as we leave this place. It says, may the peace of God reign in this place, and the love of God forever hold you tight. May the Spirit of God flow through your life, and the joy of God uphold you day and night. So go in peace and in joy, knowing that the Creator has breathed your air, knows what we're going through, and is with us, walking with us daily. Go in peace. We'll see you next time.